Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. This is part two of my interview with Ricky Joe Brewer. If you didn't listen to episode 32 first, I recommend that you stop now, go back and hear that episode before you join this one. In today's episode, we will be discussing some mature adult themes. I strongly recommend that you listen to today's episode when little ears are not listening. Here we go. Today, we have a special treat. Ricky Joe Brewer is with us today. Ricky is a wife and a mom. She's married to William and has two beautiful children, Annie Joe and Arwen. Ricky Joe is a women's mentor for women who struggle with porn addiction through Offline Ladies Ministry. She's also been certified by Light University as a mental health coach. God has really blessed Ricky Joe and is using her to help many women. And this is part two, so we will jump right back in, right where we left off last week.
So there was even one part that also was attached to my distortion of a healthy relationship, especially not growing up Christian, not understanding the Bible or God's word, or understanding why he commands certain things that are of sin and why he calls us to be holy in righteousness. A lot of the secularism that I was exposed to growing up, it also distorted like what I am allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do. And I say that because I never had somebody sit down with me and talk about the birds and bees. Like, I came home one day from middle school and it was the permission slip for sex ed, and my mom signed it and let me be on my way. And as much as like, yeah, there are clean cut verbiage that is said in sex ed, but no one actually tells me, whether Christian or not, about why sex should be preserved for marriage. When I was 13 or 14, I went to a friend's house and she introduced me to online sex chatting. And being that I was semi-sheltered, I didn't know what that looked like. And so I, you know, went home, went on the computer, looked it up, and I was hooked since. Especially seeing certain things, you know, that goes about like how to feel good, which rewires your brain and the, you know, pleasure system, or system and stuff. From then on, from that age, I was hooked to pornography. Mm-hmm. You know, I would briefly share with like some friends when they talk about it, and my boyfriend at the time didn't care. So when it was an appropriate time, that's where I fell into premarital sex with my boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. For, I want to say, going on almost 2 years, I was hooked to that. Because anytime life would get crazy and I need to feel better about myself, mm-hmm. I would run to, you know, the computer.
Right. And with porn, you can't unsee those things.
No.
They're always with you for all your life, and yes. they flash back.
Yes, the
so
flashbacks.
So that's, yeah. Satan uses that as a stronghold.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's considered not entirely a substance drug, but it is a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
It's an escape,
yes,
isn't it?
It's an escape. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you can avoid like liquor stores, casinos, certain areas, certain people, you know, to get that product, right?
Mm-hmm.
That can feed your addiction. But after a while, lust can, you know, really broaden that to where like you see somebody in the gym, you see a certain show, you can literally read books that has what is called smut, s-m-u-t, And it is very graphic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand that porn is literally everywhere. It's just in different types of media, mm-hmm. not just, you know, adult films itself or, you know, websites. Yeah.
And easily accessible.
Yeah.
And kind of like, as a parallel, like drugs, people start with marijuana and mm-hmm. then you want more. So it grows out of the computer and projects to people.
Right.
Then goes from there.
Yeah. Porn really desensitizes, mm-hmm. disconnects, and really distort a lot of how you view things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I talk about with other girls about, you know, porn is for us, the way we are created, we can get very emotionally attached to somebody that we're in an instance, if they want sex, like we'd be willing to freely give it because there is something that we are trying to fill in that void to receive that type of like affection, attention, connection. And porn can only fulfill so much that mm-hmm. it goes on to the next gateway to where, you know, you want to have premarital sex or even extramarital affairs, even to where like you can also support, you know, sex positive, quote unquote, you know, type of situation. So like OnlyFans is a huge one in society where there's a lot of women that say like, oh, my body count, which means the amount of people that they slept with, means nothing because I'm one, getting paid, two, I'm getting attention, and three, validation from all these people who support what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've never gone to that type of extent. But when porn wasn't fulfilling my needs in such a way of there's like a false sense of need, like, well, if my husband's not going to give me attention and I can't feel connected with my husband, I'm going to go to porn. Now, when I did accept Christ back when I was 21, 22, I was staying away from porn for like a whole year. Then I got pregnant with my daughter, and despite his hormones or we just didn't have the right filters on or whatever, I still found my way back to that. And it was a struggle to where eventually I had to come clean to the youth pastor that I was serving under to be like, I'm struggling with this. I think I need to step down from preschool ministry. It sucked because I loved helping with the little ones, but the conviction was hitting me so deep that I can't be serving anybody if I got this struggle going on.
Right.
And you know, when porn wasn't cutting it, then I started to lust after, you know, another guy that was also in the church at the time. And my daughter was born. Me and my husband were like really having a hard time with being first time parents. And there was a lot of arguments in between that when I would flirt with this guy, one day Holy Spirit told me, the Bible says one who lusts after another in their own heart is already committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I share my testimony at Celebrate Recovery or Recovery Alive, I say it was a one-sided emotional affair because the guy, for all he knew, was, oh, she's saying hi, whatever. But to me, I'm like thinking about this guy. I'm lusting after him, wondering what it would be like to be with him, to where I was growing colder to my husband. And that mm-hmm. wasn't fair. So when the Holy Spirit told me that, I felt really ashamed and guilty that I reached out to one of the pastor's wives. She highly insisted I come clean with, you know, my husband, and I did. And I expected like a dramatic, aggressive result, like you see on movies, like, you know, the woman gets thrown out, you know, the divorce is hectic and crazy. I expected all that. But my husband looked at me and says, I can see why. I understand why you did. But despite how hurt I'm feeling, I want us to reconcile. At that moment, I want to say it was the point I knew my husband loved me despite anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I didn't learn my lesson then. And I say that because for 9 years, we were in California. We had our two kids, and we were already looking to move out of California because of different crazy laws. At first, we were thinking Texas. God said, nope. Then we were like, Tennessee. And God was like, nope. Finally, both me and my husband were like, okay, God, where do you want us to go? He goes, South Carolina. And I'm like, I don't want to go back to South Carolina.
Had you been there before?
So I've been to South Carolina once. I was 15, 16. My dad and his girlfriend at the time were already living here. So I flew out for a summer. As I've mentioned before, my father has violent, aggressive behaviors. Mm-hmm. He assaulted his girlfriend in front of me. And it happened here in South Carolina.
So bad memories here.
So really bad memories.
Yeah.
But for my husband, he asked God, why South Carolina of all places? And God told him, for your growth. And for me, I'm like, it's a place of trauma. And I don't want to have flashbacks of that or relive those memories. But when we moved here, and we were having people telling us, like, oh, you guys are a mixed family. You guys are going to face racism, prejudice, and blah, blah, blah. And y'all have seriously been the most sweetest people I have ever met. And all I could think was, like, it honestly feels like home. You guys are very genuine. You guys really want to strike up a conversation. And I'm not used to that back in California. Like, I could literally be like, hey, how are you guys doing today? And like, oh, good. I'm busy. I gotta go. And it's like, okay. But we would literally, like, with a lot of the locals here, we could be in a Walmart checkout line and we could just share stories.
Right.
And then tell other people instead, like, oh, you can go. You can go. Mm-hmm. You know. And there's been times where I genuinely would talk to people and they're like, thank you for making my day, for talking with me. I'm like, y'all do not do that here. Yeah. But I guess it just really depends, especially after the pandemic. It really did a lot on everybody in society of how to engage with people.
I'm kind of partial to South Carolina. I was born just off of Main Street Pickens Cannon Memorial Hospital was downtown.
Okay.
And that's been... lots of years ago. Mm-hmm. But as you're talking, it makes me think maybe God sent you here to help you overcome that trauma by letting us love on you. How about that?
Yeah, I can see it that way. And truly it has. And I say that because back in California, I did Celebrate Recovery Step Study. And we had a whole step sisterhood. And I thought, like, yes, these are my gals for life, because they knew my low points and they got to see my high points when I got to share my testimony with them. And then we moved out here and I am, like, loving the culture of the genuine and the hospitality out here and how sweet you guys are. And I'm like, I can raise my children here without so much as, like, a dismissal or feeling like we're not unique or whatever. But unfortunately, life has its twists and turns. We had met somebody through a different CR, and he and my husband, like, clicked to where there were accountability partners. And for as long as I've been with my husband, like, he's allowed people that were not Christian, people who were, you know, they were identified as gay, you know, come into our homes and even live with us for a little bit while they got back on their feet. Because that's what I want to say the Christian culture is. Like, you be loving, you be genuine, and you be very hospitable to people who are lost.
Girl, God's given you a good man. You know that, don't you?
Yes,
you know that. That's awesome.
And I appreciate him, despite how much he and I stress each other out. But that's marriage, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But that's part of the marriage process. And one thing he and I realized in 2022 when we moved here is that we really lacked boundaries with other people. So when we befriended this single guy and we allowed him to come to our home, we even allowed him to sleep over to help him get away from, you know, stresses and whatever. He really did a huge number on us. But a part of that was a lot of the deception. And that's because on my side, I'm thinking like, oh, he's really nice. He's really funny. He and I can relate on a lot of things. He really cares about me. And he would tell me like, oh, I really care about you and, you know, your family. And I'm really grateful for you guys, for opening you guys home to me. And it's like, yeah, cool. And eventually it was where he tells me, oh, I love you. And I'm thinking like, oh, he's just joking. He's like, no, I love you. And it's like, oh, I love you too. But then it's like, but I don't know. Like,
that felt awkward.
It felt awkward. But then when me and my husband would get into it, like we got into a huge fight over the trash can. I'm making food. I'm taking care of the kids, trying to make sure the home is clean while this friend is, mm-hmm. you know, hanging out with my husband. And I'm asking my husband, like, hey, can you please take out the trash? Okay, I'll take it out 5 minutes later. And I'm like trying to pile in as much trash while I'm trying to keep the house clean and make meals for everybody. I'm like, honey, I really need you to take out trash. Yeah, I'll get to it in a little bit. To where the trash was toppling out of the lid. And like, honey, I really need you to take out this trash. Now, in my mind, I'm asking him nicely to take out the trash. Meanwhile, this friend is whispering in my husband's ear, she doesn't respect you as the man of the house. You're trying to enjoy your day off, but she's trying to get you to do chores. What kind of wife is that?
Wow.
I do not see this. I do not hear this. Mm-hmm. My husband walks and storms into the kitchen and he sees this toppling over. He's like, why didn't you just take out the trash? And I'm thinking, where is this coming from? Because in our 10 years at the time together, hey, honey, if you ever need anything, just tell me. I'll get it done. Okay. 3 times I asked, and all of a sudden he's blowing up, and I am confused where this is all projecting from. When he goes to take out the trash, here comes a friend. Oh, I can leave if it's just not a good time to hang out. I'm like, no, it's not you. It's not you. It's not you. And there was another incident that my husband had revealed to me where apparently they're on their way to like this event, and they're talking about dating and whatever. And apparently this quote-unquote friend asked my husband, what if I took your wife from you? And my husband was like, if you did, I would unalive you.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it's not a big deal. We're just joking around, blah, blah, blah. But that was like...
awkward, again.
No, it's... Weird. I mean, I know, like, yeah. In a way, yeah, it's awkward, but it was a big red flag.
Yeah.
In modern day...
He had a motive. He was, yes. He had a mission he was on.
Yes, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, our lack of boundaries allowed that to continue to where one day I am distraught. My in-laws have visited. They had to leave. And, you know, I'm in a new place. I'm struggling mentally, emotionally. And I feel like me and hubby were just having this huge, like, wedge between us, this huge divide. And no matter what I did, I felt like I was failing as a wife. But then here comes the friend. He gives me a big hug. I start to feel safe and, like, this attention from him that mm-hmm. I was, like, accepted and that he cared for me and whatever. And then one thing led to another, and he and I kissed. And the next thing I know, I got involved with him. Now, as I have mentioned, I feel like I should have learned my lesson from the first time, which is the one-sided emotional affair. Mm-hmm. But this one happened in such a time where, you know, where the enemy will use for evil, God will use for good. Because mm-hmm. it made us both realize we lacked strong boundaries. We are not being there for one another as we should have. And two, even if a hurricane was, you know, coming over, we need to still be faithful to one another.
Right.
And I lacked that a lot.
Yeah.
So when the next day came, this friend has completely ghosted me. He is ignoring my husband via, like, you know, phone, whatever. And I go to a different... we were going to a different church at this time. And the message was on adultery. And I already knew, oh, God is scolding me so much because I messed up big time.
Matthew West.
And I go, I was already feeling
Matthew West.
My husband knew something was up, but he didn't know what was going on. And then we go to CR at that time. And the song was, Truth Be Told, Matthew something.
Matthew West.
And I'm bawling in my chair because I'm like, God, you're going to do something to me. Thinking I'm going to be like reprimanded hardcore by God for my mess up with that guy. And the speaker comes up and she says, no one is immune to being vulnerable. And I knew in that moment that I had to come clean that night. So I shared it in small group. The small group leader got the director. The director got the pastor. And the pastor got my husband. I let it out. Now, my husband was not only hurt and devastated, he was infuriated. He's like, you promised you would not cheat on me again. And I think to myself, like, dude, like, it's not that I wanted to, but I did. And I can't justify that. Mm-hmm. No matter if it was that me and hubby were having, like, this really huge divide between us, I did. Because I was, unfortunately, selfish and weak in that moment. He was ready to divorce me, like, 2 days after.
So that, when you shared that, you shared it, the pastor and...
I shared it with everybody in that room that I had cheated on my husband.
And that's how he heard it in a group.
No, like, they brought him in a private room, and they were like, your wife has something to share with you.
Okay. Yeah. So you shared it.
Yeah. Okay. And they even asked if we were okay to go home together. And we got into it that night. I think it was a day later, my brother-in-law calls my husband. He says, you need to read Hosea. And then Holy Spirit tells my husband, you need to read Hosea. And even, like, I heard, like, have your husband read from Hosea. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing anything right or wrong right now. Like, I was, like, in a limbo between God and my flesh at that moment. My husband started reading from Hosea, and I remember sitting in our bed, and it felt like something was slithering up in my chest, and all of a sudden it, like, held me, like, by the throat, and the next words that came out was not my voice. And the next thing, both me and my husband, we were in spiritual warfare, because with the Hawaiian culture, we talk a lot about the gods and whatever, and, like, the spirits and doing all these type of rituals and whatever. But with that, there's also the spirit realm.
Of course.
That is well alive and very real. It was so scary because so much was revealed from the enemy's plan that he finally broke us up.
And he used the friend...
The
spiritual warfare was going on through all of that, as that friend targeted to break up that marriage and to have a relationship with you.
Right. And to completely destroy both me and my husband.
And the devil thought he won.
Did
he?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And so my husband, he... binds this demon that was manifesting itself because it was taunting him at this point. And it revealed that whatever spirits were attached to the friend, this guy, was very familiar with who I was and who I was meant to be. And that's scary because to me, what's the phrase? Big shoes to fill. To think that the enemy knows who I was destined to be. That's scary. At least to me, it's scary. But nothing is bigger than God, right?
He's trying to keep you from being who God wants you to be.
Right.
To be this counselor, to be the things that you're doing now. He's trying to disable us. He always is.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to do God's work.
Absolutely, yes.
And he'll do anything.
Yes.
And he hates marriage.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes. And he hates women.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what they were designed to do.
Yeah.
As well.
Because the seed of a woman crushed the seed of the serpent. And back in Genesis, is where the Bible talks about that. And he's had a bone to pick with women and their offspring ever since.
Yeah.
But coming from the seed of Eve, mm-hmm. Jesus came.
Right.
And he fixed it all. He gave us a way. He gave us a way to get through every day.
Yeah.
And a way to get to heaven through shedding his blood.
Right.
And so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a plan.
Absolutely. Because I could have died that night, Sharon. Mm-hmm. Because from what my husband shared with me when I was able to come to, mm-hmm. he said that they were really determined to kill me on the spot. And the way that it felt to see what was happening, like where I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. The spirits were trying to kill me in that mm-hmm. moment. And it wasn't until my husband got our spiritual mentor on the phone, because she's messianic. She knows spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. She's done it multiple times. Mm-hmm. And blowing the shofar, which is the sheep's horn trumpet in Jewish culture, and literally went to war on my behalf mm-hmm. to not only spare me, but to literally obliterate all the things that was attached to me from this guy.
And maybe from your dad and
yes.
all of it, the spiritual
yes.
strongholds.
Yes.
There is spiritual warfare. And
right.
I did a podcast on that recently.
Yeah.
And if any of our listeners want to go back, it's episode 30. It's real.
Yes.
It is absolutely
yes.
real into the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something that the Southern Baptist girl was brought up to really embrace, is the truth of spiritual warfare
yeah.
that becomes physical. But I've lived it as well. And
right.
I'm just going to be vulnerable with you. And during some struggles with Bradley, our son that we brought from Ukraine.
Right.
He had... in his ancestry, there was some devil worship and some things that were attached to him.
Yeah.
We fought some things, spiritual warfare, that would make some people's hair on the back of their neck stand up if I told them what went on with
right.
that. But God.
But God.
But God.
Absolutely.
And I'm no match for Satan. You're no match for Satan.
No.
All we can do is send it to the throne of God to be dealt with.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's it. And anytime we think we can take on the devil on our own.
No.
We cannot. We need prayer, fasting, intervention. We need.
Yes.
And but God gives us tools. And the biggest one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word
Amen.
Of God. So anyone who's fighting spiritual battles right now,
mm-hmm.
I urge you, go back. I've given scriptures that you can pray at night for your family
yes.
that are real. Speak to it with the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
That's it.
Yes.
It's it. It's the battle's real. And it's getting
yes.
stronger, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer the devil knows is coming to an end. We
right.
all know the day that Jesus is coming back is sooner and sooner.
Yes.
And he knows it. He feels it. And he used to hide in the bushes, Ricky Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And now he just walks down Main Street and shoots at us with a machine gun.
Absolutely.
It
yeah.
is so different. And he's after our little children.
Exactly.
And as mothers, parents... That should just mm-hmm. set us on fire to get in the fight.
Yeah. And like mm-hmm. his main target is to destroy the family unit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And some of that comes through homosexuality. That,
mm-hmm.
you know, two men can't have a biological child. Two women can't.
Yeah.
That's part of it. The sexual. Satan takes things that are good from God and twists it.
Mm-hmm.
He does it in all kinds of things. In our food. God made good food. It's good. But we eat things that aren't good for us. Sex is wonderful, meant to be between a man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
He takes that and twists it and uses it to destroy.
Absolutely.
Cause,
yeah, he's definitely tried on my life multiple times how to mm-hmm. further divide me from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of even generational strongholds or generational curses,
mm-hmm.
we learned that night of the spiritual warfare over me that there was at least 7 generations of adultery in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know if it was from my mom's side, my father's side, but the fact that there was a lot of that is like, that would explain so much.
Right. So that's a generational stronghold breaking.
Yes.
Ricky, mm-hmm. Joe and William are stopping this with our family. Right. And it will not go on.
Absolutely, yeah.
So God has worked miracles in your life, hasn't he?
He continues to reveal things to both me and William that makes us further cling to him. Because mm-hmm. when we think like, oh, it's not that deep or it's not that bad, it is. Mm-hmm. And even with that affair in 2022, we went to our head pastor at the time we were attending the church. And the pastor sat with us and listened to everything that happened. And he looked at me, he's like, Ricky Joe, I'm going to tell you as genuine and as gentle as I possibly can, but this was no affair. And I'm like, yes, it is. I mean, it takes two to mingle and a third if, you know, that happens. And he's like, no, Ricky Joe, you were groomed. And that blew me away. Because I'm thinking like, oh, this guy truly loved me. He truly cared for me, blah, blah, blah. And even one time, because me and William were just arguing back and forth, when William walked away, this guy comes up to me. He says, if anything ever happened between you and your husband, I'll be there for you. But to find out through your own pastor that no, you were groomed into the affair, mm-hmm. that there was no typical adultery, that he's targeted me from the very beginning and deceived me and divided me from my husband, that's very scary. To where both me and William like have really strict boundaries between the both of us and our home now, that to ensure no one else can just invade and try to divide our family, mm-hmm. we're very picky who comes into our home. And even like when we're out and about, even at church, like, it's not that there's rules, because I understand in secular society, like, oh, the man is oppressive and blah, blah, blah. But there's a reason why men are to look over their wives a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that is not to oppress them. It's to protect them. It's emotional, vulnerable creatures that God created us to be. But that is to also be emotionally sacred for our husbands as well. And I didn't know that until I went on this recovery journey of not only to reconcile my husband after a second affair, but more of if I need to model what it means to be a faithful, godly, and a healthy wife, it needs to start with me. Mm-hmm. I can't say like, oh, well, I tried, you know, pass the torch on to my daughter. No, I need to model that.
Right. And there's some scripture.
Yeah. So in the Bible, Ephesians 5:22, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And on to 25, it states, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. After the pastor had talked with us about the grooming in the affair, me and my husband had to sit down and literally reconstruct and reevaluate our foundation of our marriage and keeping our home and our marriage, you know, sanctified. Mm-hmm. And it took, of course, accountability on my side wholeheartedly, to where there was times where my husband kind of got upset with me, where he's like, why don't you say it was groomed, that you were groomed? Why do you tell people it was just an affair? But to me, mentally, I still believed it was still my fault. And I still had to take accountability fully for that. But with my husband, he also realized that the things that I mentioned that happened on his side, mm-hmm. should have been warning sirens that this guy was not a safe person to have within our home. Mm-hmm. And
I bet he wanted at that point to make him unalive.
Yes.
I bet Dagger was there, but he was gone.
Yeah, but he was already gone. He stayed away. Me and William have not only been reconciling, but we realized like we lacked the boundaries to mm-hmm. keep each other like safe with even each other. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of guidance and advice from the church we're currently attending, which is East Pickens, mm-hmm. Talking with sponsors, mentors. As I mentioned, like, there was a sisterhood back in California with the CR there. Only one still talks to me now, ever since I came out with that I had a second affair. And there's even, like, one woman that said something specifically that hurt me and probably added more to, like, why I need to take wholehearted accountability mm-hmm. with the affair, was that she said, how can someone so spiritual fall so low? Mm. And...
oh, it can happen to anybody, but yeah, by the grace of God.
Yeah, only by the grace of God. Yeah. You think you would receive that much grace from other people, but unfortunately not. And I understand, especially in secular society, where if you cheat, like, don't be with that person. You clearly can't trust them. They're a terrible person. Like, I've seen it all online when it comes to cheating stories, especially in a secular setting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's a lot of Christian big names where there was infidelity. They've tried to reconcile and restore the marriage and stay together, but eventually they divorce. And as I've mentioned, like, William was pretty set on just divorcing because clearly he couldn't trust me. But it was only by God that we are still together, where we have a lot more vulnerable conversations with one another about what's truly going on with each other, not to withdraw from one mm-hmm. another, not to disconnect, not to play it off as, oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. It's took a lot of growth between him and I. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I was offered to teach a lesson in CR at the current church we're attending now, that I asked him, like, hey, would you be okay if I taught this? Or even with my testimony, is okay if I talk about what happened? And he would be like, if it will please God, by all means. I can't stop you. And I sure don't want God to be mad at me, so you go right on ahead. And even before I started teaching in CR, I still thought I was the lowest of lows, that I'm not worthy to be a leader or to teach or to do any type of ministry. Honestly, I want to close off, but God always has something in store for us, even mm-hmm. when we think that he has no other purpose for us. So it went from one lesson to two, to I was attending leadership meetings. Then we went from CR transition to RA, and the director looked at me and said, you're a leader now.
Right.
And I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah. And just to plug this, CR is Celebrate Recovery.
Yes.
And Recovery Alive
is RA.
Right, is yes. RA. And mm-hmm. it's a program. Basically, addiction is a strong part of it.
Yes.
But it's for anybody with habits, hang-ups, hurts.
Yes.
It's for emotional. It's for... Mm-hmm. And I interviewed Lisa Forrest.
Right.
In episodes 18 and 19. And if you want to refer back to that, she tells about that ministry.
Absolutely,
at the
yes.
church that Ricky Joe and I attend, which is East Pickens Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And we welcome anyone to come to that and be a part. But check
Absolutely.
Out that podcast.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in so they knew what you were referring to.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I did that for close to a year. Of teaching, facilitating small group, greeting, process group. I really enjoyed, and I gained a lot of confidence with that. And that's because every time I would have to teach or do process group, I'm praying, God, don't let it be me that speaks, but you that speaks. Because I am not capable of doing this on my own except through you. And because of you, that you've called me to do this. For several months, it seemed to be going well. Every Sunday we were at church, and then later on that afternoon we attended, you know, Recovery Alive. Mm-hmm. And one day, me and hubby started talking about, we've been dealing with a loss. My brother-in-law had passed away, mm-hmm. and he was still grieving, I was still grieving. About the same time, we were trying to stick to being connected, being vulnerable, and not try to hide things and whatever. And unfortunately, my husband ended up breaking down to where he told me in an emergency counseling session where he says, I don't know if I can trust you. Despite how much we've grown, I don't know if I can. And right now, with all that you're doing, it feels like I'm being left in dust. Our family is catching your crumbs. And it, in a way, devastated me because I tried to balance with ministry and home and my marriage. But now I'm being told that it's not as it seemed. To where after being in recovery for, I want to say, 5 years, now I'm questioning what's the next step. And then with the director, when it was just me and her, she was mentioning that both me and my husband need professional therapy, marriage counseling, and individual as well. For, I think, a few weeks prior, Holy Spirit was telling me I need to go on sabbatical. And I even mentioned to my husband, like, hey, Holy Spirit's telling me to go on sabbatical. And he was like, why? What? Nothing's wrong, is it? I was like, no, it's just something that he said. So when that happened with my husband breaking down, and I mentioned to the director, she said, honestly, yes, I think you should go on sabbatical. And so I did. We attended therapy, and we still are. And it's been helping a lot. Not good. Only with our trust and communication with each other, but also our own individual healing of what it means to be a child in Christ. When it was nearing the ending of my sabbatical, God told me, hey, you're not going to go back to Recovery Alive as a leader. You're going to step down. And I was like, devastated. I'm like, these people have seen me at my lowest and they're seeing me grow and at my highest points. Like, I don't want to just give up, Lord. And he's like, you're not giving up. You're starting something new. I'm going to put you in another position, just not with RA. And I'm like, okay. Confirm this with me about something. And at this time, I had my current mentor, and I talked with her about it. And she was like, sometimes God will pull you away from something to get you into a new position that he needs you more than anything. Even a part of me was like, God, there's got to be a scripture with that. And it was Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And so when that scripture came up and I looked at it, I started tearing up, thinking like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to obey you. Whatever comes my way, I will be in preparation for. And I went to the director. I shared with her that, hey, God is calling me to not be involved with the ministry, but to step down. Even God challenged me to not, one, try to find a leeway back into the ministry, but two, give it up as an idol with the recovery ministry. So I actually turned in my black shirts, the leadership shirts, to the director. And she was like, you're not giving up, are you? I was like, no, God didn't say I was going to give up. He says, I'm starting a new thing, but I will still be here. And she cried and I started crying. And I think it was 2 days later, I get a message from this founder of a different recovery ministry. And it was actually the first recovery ministry I was fully active in as a member. And it's Offline Inc. Ministries. It was founded by this man. His name is Mark J. the Poet, but Mark J. Ornelas from Sacramento, where he wanted to help other people, both men and women, to overcome porn addiction, masturbation, and even lust. And when pandemic had hit, I had relapse before I started Sober Recovery Step Study a year later. But I had relapse with porn addiction. I was feeling really ashamed. And I'm like, God, I want to overcome this once and for all. Help me. And he told me, go onto your social media, do a short video that you're struggling with this, and I will do the rest. So I did that. And one of my sisters in Christ from California says, hey, I want to recommend Offline to you because they have memberships for women, to where you can have strictly women supporting you and there would be a safe space. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And I joined it, and through offline, I was able to obtain my first year of porn free. Now I'm 4 years porn free.
Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And when it was 21, 22, just before me and my family moved to South Carolina, I had stepped away from offline, you know, in preparation to move to South Carolina, you know, thinking like, okay, maybe Separate Recovery is just going to be the one for me, whatever. And then after Celebrate Recovery at East Pickens transitioned to Recovery Alive, I'm thinking, okay, like Recovery Alive, this is it for me. Cool. So when Mark reached out to me and asked how long I've been porn-free, I'm like, oh, 3 years, coming up 4. And he was like, cool. How would you feel about being a woman's mentor? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, the last female mentor has stepped down. She's doing, you know, her own thing. But I want to see if you would be interested in mentoring women through the offline ladies side, like how when you were a member. And I'm like, okay, let me pray on it. And even Mark suggested, just pray on it. Don't just say no right away. Don't say yes right away. Let God be the one to tell you. 3 days later, I reach out to him. I will take the position.
Wow.
So
that was the new thing he was doing.
It was a full circle from a member to now a mentor.
Wow.
And with the MHC courses with the scholarship through Recovery Alive, it's taught me more of understanding addiction and how to get to root causes and how to help people not be stuck and in the shame and guilt and not to be fueled by that, but to seek support and help and healing and to recover from, you know, that type of coping mechanism or coping method, whichever term you want to use, and to relate to other women, those types of struggles. And with everything I have shared with you, you know, father figure dysfunctionality, dysfunctions in the family, lack of boundaries, the affairs, even with being a special needs mom, I'm able to use all of that because of God and help our particular woman I'm working with right now to where I feel like, oh, she doesn't need to know about the affairs I've had. But when God pries it on me to be like, no, I need you to share this, mm-hmm. and I share about it, she feels 100% safer with me.
Of course. Because
I'm not here to say like, oh, you need to do this and it has to be just like this and da 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 da. Mm-hmm. No. Even God told me, you are going to make this your slogan. That you're not going to work from a place of shame. You're going to work with grace. And that's mm-hmm. grace for you and grace for others.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped this woman so much.
Right.
And I'm seeing God grow within her.
That's too. Awesome.
And I'm like, God, only you, through all of my mess, is becoming his message.
Mm-hmm.
My pain is now his purpose.
Right. And we don't have to be ashamed because his forgiveness is as far as the east is from the west.
Yes.
It's gone.
Absolutely.
It's gone. And I admire your transparency and your vulnerability so much to share this.
Thank
That's
you.
Amazing. I want to get some information about offline ministries. I'm going to put the website
mm-hmm.
in the show notes.
Yes.
But can you tell us a little bit just about how that works to get connected online?
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure that we are able to give information for
yes.
both men and women. And then could you share about what's available locally, maybe
yeah.
through you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So typically offline can serve virtually, especially with digital age that we are in. The men's does have a local group in Sacramento area, but the men's side is willing to work wherever you are at, especially with Zoom meetings specifically. And it's to help you overcome, you know, pornography, masturbation, and lust. And for the women's side, I am locally in South Carolina. But I am currently working with another woman who is on the opposite side of the country, but I'm able to do that virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like where we can establish like not only a safe environment for you to talk about this, but to share of where it possibly may have rooted from, how you want to overcome it, and the different ways you want to. And Offline does offer a freedom course, which is, I believe, a 9-week course that the mentors will walk you through and help you overcome and establish, you know, safeguards to help you stay away from it. And that includes like different porn blockers, different accountability partners, and even helping you try and establish your support system, you know, to overcome it. Because we don't want you to work from shame. We want you to be fueled by grace over yourself, that you acknowledge that this is not healthy for you, mm-hmm. but also that you can get freedom from this. Mm-hmm. And even one thing that both me and Mark are very adamant about is the symbiotic relationship between pornography and human trafficking. Oftentimes, human traffickers use porn as a way to, I want to say, reference a type of need, or I want to say like a foundation of what they want, right? And they will seek...
guide them toward youngers, basically is what you're saying. Right. The grooming, the changing of
the
people's
coercions.
Minds.
Yeah. Yes, and...
that's the enemy doing that.
Exactly. And how porn distorts the mind mm-hmm. to the fact that it can desensitize so much, because you're not just looking at like people just having sex. It's where it ventures off into violent genres, they call it, where, you know, there's a lot of violent acts acted out on women, and mm-hmm. As there is a huge awareness about, even with children involved, mm-hmm. It's such a dark topic.
Yes.
But it needs to be brought awareness, because we cannot sweep the rug or under the rug about a situation mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. Especially because now it's not just women and, children too. It's, people who... identify as like, genderqueer or whatever, that is also affected by pornography and human trafficking, right. Because coercion knows no bounds. Mm-hmm. Trafficking knows no bounds. With Offline, we talk about that a lot, that, both feel one another.
Right.
And in order to break that, we need to acknowledge that, one, both porn and human trafficking is bad, and two, we need to help others to overcome that struggle before
they act on it and make something terrible. Yes,
absolutely. Yes. Especially with how much in the local news we hear about, like, someone who's a teacher, someone who's a doctor, someone who's a pastor, even, mm-hmm. Coercing minors, even. And that's where that can really smear God's image.
Right. And it started with porn, most likely.
It started with porn.
Most likely. Or an experience with someone else in their younger life.
Yes. Rather it is porn, or you have been molested or raped.
It breaks that normal thought process, and the enemy uses that.
Yeah. Yeah. About 90%, and this is just an estimate number, mm-hmm. of the people I have met who have dealt with porn addiction, mm-hmm. have been sexually abused, definitely traumatized, even if it's not sexual, mm-hmm. and have sexual identity issues as mm-hmm. well. And I also relate to that. Mm-hmm. So being in this position to help other people, is not a, what you mentioned earlier, like something I would have planned to do. But if this is how God has created me to be, I am open to his persuasion to help others heal and to bring awareness to such a really dark subject. Mm-hmm. So it's all to glorify him and the healing he wants to bring about to the world.
Yeah, and God never wastes anything. No, like you said, all these different things in your life. Mm-hmm. He's used that to equip you.
Yes.
And if you're like me, the hard things that have happened to me in my life, I want them to be used for mm-hmm. some good.
Right.
Rather than just taking what life has done mm-hmm. and letting that crush and be part of my story, that I'm just going to sit and keep that to myself.
Right.
I want to let God use me to bring life change,
right,
to fight back that darkness. And that's what you're doing. And that's what God's calling us to do. And I just think it's amazing and wonderful what you're doing.
Thank you.
Tell me the best way if a woman wanted to connect.
In the show notes, there is one website. It is Offline Inc. That's OFFLINEINC.org. And there's going to be a part for the men and a section for the women. And you can get a hold of us through that. We also have Offline Inc. Facebook and Instagram. And then we also have the Offline Ladies on Facebook and Instagram. So you can always get through us to that. When you connect with us, there is a 20-minute free consultation meeting where we talk about what it is you're dealing with, what you want to overcome, and how Offline would love to help you with that. And so far, I've had just a few consultation meetings where the women that I encounter, they know they need help. Sometimes, though, they share about it and then they close up because it's something that they're still learning how to cope with, that they just open themselves raw and now they're scared that, you know, something new that can be helpful for them, mm-hmm, but they're not quite ready yet. So that's been a part of my prayer, that God, when you are ready to send the women that need my help, I am all for it. I'm not going to try to downplay how you do things, and I'm not going to downplay myself that I can't be helpful. And so if there's anybody in South Carolina that would like my help as a woman's mentor on breaking free from porn addiction, I would love to be of help to you guys. You guys can reach out to me and I would love to help you.
Feel free to reach out through SharonHawkins.net. Select contact and you can leave an anonymous message just asking for Ricky Joe and leaving your phone number, and I will put you in touch with Ricky Joe. Thank you so much, Ricky Joe, for being here today. It just has meant so much to me to get to hear all of your story and just the wonderful drive that you have to take what God meant for evil and use it for good. And you're changing lives of young women. And I know there's people out there that needed to hear what you had to share today. And so we'll just pray that this episode goes far and wide and exactly who it needs to go to.
I'm honored that you have me on your podcast.
Thank you so much for being a part. And just wanted to remind all you ladies out there that are listening that, you know, we have struggles from every different direction. The enemy fights us in so many different ways. We need to be vigilant and watching because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So we need to keep our guard up to protect our families, our homes. The enemy is after our families.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is our prayer for you, that God would keep you safe, but that you would also be watchful and mindful to protect your home. And just never forget that no matter what you go through, you can always find God's grace in the wilderness when you seek Him. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.